Hello, and thank you for listening to today's episode of JAT Cast, the official podcast of the Journal of Athletic Training. I am your host, Luke Donovan. This month, we will feature two shorter episodes that promote JAT's upcoming special issue on public health and athletic training. For this part two episode, I will summarize another article from the special issue titled, Application of a Preventative Training Program Implementation Framework to Youth Soccer and Basketball Organizations, by Dr. Haley Root and colleagues from Arizona School of Health Sciences, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, the University of Connecticut, and the University of Connecticut Health Center. As a reminder, the article discussed today can be found on the JAT website, natajournals.org. And please remember that all content from JAT is open access to all readers thanks to the funding from the National Athletic Trainers Association. First step, surveying the scene. Lower extremity injuries account for a large portion of all athletic injuries across all levels of sports. Provided that a previous history of an injury is the greatest predictor of future injuries, avoiding that first injury is critical. Luckily, prevention training programs that include neuromuscular training as part of an active warm-up has been shown to reduce lower extremity muscle skeletal injury rates by 65 to 85%. As organized youth sport participation continues to increase, and unfortunately, as a byproduct, so has the prevalence of injury within this population, a logical place to implement prevention program is within those youth sport organizations. Furthermore, by targeting a population that is still developing healthy habits and body control may positively influence injury rates down the road, thus breaking the continuum of disability and financial burden. Unfortunately, many youth sport organizations do not have access to athletic trainers to implement prevention programs, making coaches the most viable option. In order to improve implementation, Padua and colleagues developed a framework known as the 7 Steps. This framework provides guidance for real-world development and implementation of prevention training programs. To date, the application of the 7 Steps at the youth level, defined as 8 to 14 years of age, of American recreation sports has not been investigated. Therefore, the authors describe 2 purposes of this study. The primary goal was to evaluate the application of the first 5 steps in the 7 Steps program in both youth soccer and basketball organizations to identify which steps were most limiting. The secondary goal of the study was to characterize barriers and facilitators of each of the first 5 steps of the program. Let's define each step. Step 1. Establish administrative support. Step 2, develop an interdisciplinary team. Step 3, identify barriers and solutions. Step 4, develop an evidence-based preventative training program. Step 5, train the trainers and users. Step 6, prevention training program fidelity control. And step 7, exit strategy. Both steps 6 and 7 were not evaluated within this study. To answer the research questions, 62 youth soccer and basketball organizations for athletes between the ages of 8 and 14 were contacted by way of email to complete the study. As an incentive, each organization was offered a free preseason workshop advertised as Training Preparation for Sport. The investigators then tracked the number of organizations that completed each step as well as periodic reflections across the study duration. Completion of each step was evaluated by using a yes or no screening checklist. Each step had 2 to 4 operational questions that were used to quantify as to whether the broad step was completed. The checklist in its entirety can be found within the article. Here are the results. 40 youth soccer and 22 youth basketball organizations were invited to participate. Overall, 12 organizations completed step 1 through step 5, 28 organizations completed step 1A and 1B, which were the steps in which negative outcomes of injury and the positive attributes of a prevention program were described to administrative personnel. Only 21 organizations continued to step 1C, which was the sub-step in which the research team received formal permission from the organization to implement the program. Prior to completing step 2A, 3 additional organizations withdrew and did not develop an interdisciplinary team. At this point, 18 remaining organizations completed all steps up until step 5. Finally, 12 organizations completed substeps 5A through 5D, but no organizations completed the final substep 5E. Overall, the study demonstrates that step 1 of implementing a prevention training program generated the largest drop-off, where about 55% of organizations did not provide administrative support. It is crucial to develop additional strategies to get organizations to buy into these programs. Despite the author's efforts to stress the benefits of these programs, offer flexible times to implement the workshops, and numerous resources and access, the initial enrollment rate was still below 50%. This suggests that other strategies, in addition to the ones used by the investigators, should be explored. For example, the authors discuss both top-down, coming from state legislation, and bottom-up strategies, coming from parents, to improve buy-in. As the profession continues to advocate and develop prevention strategies, time and infrastructure must be readily addressed, especially when seeking support. It is important to note that all organizations who developed an interdisciplinary team completed a train-the-trainer workshop. So again, it appears step one is the biggest hurdle to implementing prevention training programs in youth sports. As a profession, we should continue to develop strategies to gain buy-in towards prevention programs across all sport levels. Something that all athletic trainers can do is to continue to educate all stakeholders on the long-term impact of sport-related injury, but at the same time, promote the overwhelming positives associated with physical activity. We can remind these stakeholders that youth sports are a means for children to develop a healthy lifestyle and a lifelong commitment to physical activity. And therefore, we should take the time to implement strategies to avoid threats to physical activity, such as injury. Well, that is it for today's JAT Cast. Please remember to rate and subscribe to the podcast, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, and Stitcher. You can find out more information about upcoming podcasts and other JAT events on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts at JAT_NATA. Thank you for listening, and keep a lookout for next month's JAT Cast.